Great. Thank you, everyone, so much. Thank you, Tony, for all your help with all the practical bits. It's so much goes on behind the scenes that Tony does for us. We're so grateful for that. And welcome, everyone. My name's Ian. I lead the team here, and it's my joy to speak to us today on our gift day, our building gift day. And it's an exciting day, isn't it? We've come to give our money. Can we get a whoop for coming to give our money? All right, that's a good thing. We've come to make sacrifices. We've come to offer an act of worship as we seek to raise £100,000 for this building, which is up here on the screen behind me. It's an exciting day because we come as a whole church family. This is something that we're doing together that everyone can be involved in. And we recognize within that that everyone has different circumstances, everyone has different kinds of resources. And just to remember, really, it's not about the amount that you are able to give today. That's not what Jesus is most interested in. What he's most interested in is your heart and your desire to be involved and your desire to be generous in whatever way that looks like for you. And just to say, if you're a visitor here today, maybe you have just started coming along to Open Door and you've not quite decided yet whether Open Door is going to be your local church, your home base, or if you're maybe part of another church and you're visiting with friends today, or maybe you're still exploring faith and what you really think about Jesus, just to put right up there, there's no expectation on you to be involved in giving into this offering that we're having today. We would love you to be part of the excitement of what we're doing, but we're not after your money. You are very welcome to be amongst us. This is something that's very much that we are doing as a family. And it's an exciting day because we are nearing the fulfillment of a God-given dream. Yeah? We're excited about that. This is a journey that we've traveled on over many years. God has spoken to us prophetically over a couple of decades now, really. There has been much prayer already, much sacrifice, much giving has already happened. We've had many disappointments along the way, but God has picked us up and proved that he is faithful. I just wanted actually to take this opportunity to say thank you so much to everyone that has got us this far. Those of you that have given before, those of you that have prayed over the years, those of you that have been part of building teams in one way, shape or another. Thank you, everyone. And this is an exciting day, not only as we look back, but as we look forward as well. Just as Chris spoke about last week, we're sowing seeds into the future. This is an offering that is not just going to bless us at this time, but it's going to bless this town for generations to come and people for generations to come. We anticipate our 30th birthday next year in this building that we are able to celebrate. We're able to celebrate the 30 years that we've had as a church. But as we sow seeds today, we're giving into the next 30 years and the decades to come and all that God is going to do in St. Neots and beyond. So are you with me? It's an exciting day. Yeah? It's good to be excited about what we're doing. And today I want to inspire us further about what we're doing, what we're part of, what we're giving into, because actually it's much more than just a building. I mean, you know, it doesn't look that much, does it? It's a great space for us. Actually, it looks really amazing considering the journey that we've been on and what we can see. But really, we're not that excited about the fabric of the building, but we're excited about what it's going to do for us. We're excited about what it's going to be. And I want to help us today to think about that by looking at Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. We're going to read that in a minute. It'll come up on the screen behind me. If you've got a Bible, you can find it. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And this is going to begin as we read it in a minute by encouraging us to fix our thoughts on Jesus. Fix our thoughts on Jesus, to consider him. And as we look at Jesus today, we are going to see more of what this building is all about. And that is going to encourage us in the decisions that I'm sure many of us already made about what we're giving into and what we're going to do is to play our part today. So let's just read this together. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, it says this. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, But God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and to the hope in which we glory. This is an amazing passage of scripture that I've just been meditating on recently. And there's things in here that I've never really seen before. And I want to try and draw some of this out. And really, this isn't about inspiring you to give. This is inspiring you about Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us. And we're going to fix our thoughts on two things that this passage tells us about Jesus. And we're going to consider what that means for us today. And what does this mean for our giving as well? So the first thing is this, that Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is our high priest. That first verse there, it says, "Holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest." Now, if you ever find yourself needing to or coming up before a court of law, accused of some kind of criminal offense, you are going to need someone to represent you. Okay, you're going to need someone who understands how the system works. You're going to need someone who can speak on your behalf to the judge. You're going to need someone who is able to make your case effectively. Occasionally, you hear stories about people that come up before a court of law and decide to represent themselves. Now, I'm no expert on this. I know some of you in the room know much more than me, but I don't think that's really ever going to be a particularly good thing to do, to represent yourself. Maybe there is an instance where that is the case, but I can't think of one. Okay, we don't really want to go and do that. It's never a good idea, and it's the same in God's courtroom. One day we will all stand before God the judge. And if we try and represent ourselves, if we rely on our own arguments, if we rely on our own abilities, we are always going to be found guilty. We need someone who can represent us well before God himself. In Old Testament times, among God's people, there was someone who was appointed to represent the people to God. That person was the high priest. It was the high priest's job every year to go into the Holy of Holies and to make sacrifices on behalf of the people for the forgiveness of sins. See, sacrifice was central to the way that the people of God at that time worshipped God. The killing of animals, the spilling of blood. It sounds gory. It sounds horrible to us. It sounds like something that we would not do in church. But it was the way that God initiated for people to be made right with him. That is how the penalty for sin was paid. And so it was as animals were sacrificed that people could be forgiven, that their shame could be removed, that they could be brought back into relationship with God. But there were some problems with this. First of all, first problem, the sacrifices kept having to be made year after year after year. The spilling of this animal blood could not atone for the sins of mankind on its own. The second problem was that the high priests were unreliable. They would come and go. They would get old and they would die and they would need replacing. But more than that, they themselves were sinners. They would sin. And so they could never perfectly restore the people to God. But guess what? This sacrifice system and this person, this high priest who had this responsibility to represent the people to God, pointed towards a great high priest who was to come. Jesus, who was fully God, who completely understood the system. Jesus, who was fully man. He was fully able to represent us as one of us. He was one of us. Jesus, who was completely reliable. He lived a perfect, sinless life. Jesus, who is eternal. Jesus, who lives forever. Jesus, who would make a sacrifice and spill not just animal blood, but spill his own blood once and for all so that sin could be paid for. Jesus became not only our high priest, but also the sacrifice on the altar. Isn't that incredible? This is Jesus. This is whom we now worship. This is who we live for. This is who we follow. And we are no longer called to come and bring animal sacrifices. There's no need for them because Jesus' sacrifice has paid the price for our sins once and for all. But what we are taught to do is to come and offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, to bring our lives to Jesus, to follow him, to be his disciples, to live for him, to give our whole lives. And so if you think this morning you've come and, you know, you're feeling a bit uncomfortable because we're asking for your money or God's asking for your money, it's not even that. God's asking for your life. He's asking for your heart. He's asking for everything that you have. That's what he's interested in. And that's how we worship Jesus. We bring our lives. We bring our all. We bring our everything, our time, our skills, our relationships, our prayers, and our money. And we bring it to Jesus. So today, we come and we give to him. We make a sacrifice. We make an offering to him. It's an offering of worship. It's an offering of thankfulness. It's an offering of gratitude. We can give cheerfully and we can give joyfully because through faith in Jesus and the sacrifice that he made, we receive forgiveness. We receive freedom. We receive adoption into his family. We receive all of that because of Jesus. We sang about it this morning. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He went to the cross in your place. He went to the cross in my place. And so we give out of gratitude to him. And because of our faith in Jesus, our lives and our situations are totally transformed because Jesus is our high priest. We see this in verse 1. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters, first of all, we are holy. When we put our trust in Jesus, we are made holy and righteous and pure and blameless. The word holy means we are set apart by God and for God. And you may think, well, that's not me. I've fallen too far. We've heard this already this morning. I can't be considered holy. But the truth is that anyone who puts their trust in Jesus, anyone who puts their belief and their faith in his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, his defeat of sin, his defeat of the devil, our enemy. If you put your trust in Jesus in that way, you are made new. You are made holy. You are made righteous in Christ. You belong to him. You have his spirit in you. You are called to his purposes. And so because Jesus is our high priest, we are holy. Because Jesus is our high priest, we are also brothers and sisters. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters. In other words, we are family. We are family. Yeah. Get up, everybody, and sing. Yeah. We are family. We are adopted as children of God. We are brothers and sisters with one another and with Christ. In our language, we are a family of disciples. We are a family of believers, of brothers and sisters who are following Jesus and giving our lives as a living offering. Because Jesus is our high priest, we are giving today towards our own family home. Okay, this is a family home that you see in front of you right here. And it's a place for great family times together. I remember when we moved into our first family home, our first home that we bought. We'd lived in some rented accommodation before that and we had great times in our rented home, but there was something special when we moved into the house, the first time that we had bought a house, Angela and I together. And what it meant was that we could put things up on the wall without having to ask permission. It meant we could redecorate. It meant we could, you know, make it our own. And that's what this is gonna give us. We can put our stamp on it. It can represent us as a family. Not only that, but every family moment became significant. I remember when we used to have friends and family over for the first time, we'd give them the tour of our little two-bedroomed house. And, you know, it was special. And you'd have the family over for barbecues or your first Christmas. You'd gather. The first Christmas we were in our house, it was special. We bought a new Christmas tree. We decorated. It was our first Christmas in our new home. I remember when we brought our first child home to that family home. We had these significant family moments. And, you know, this building is going to give us those significant family moments, incredible times of meeting together with God as brothers and sisters. Worship times, times where the Holy Spirit comes upon us, times when we gather together to be church. And we can just linger a little longer because we haven't booked it. It's us. Prayer nights where we can just pray into the night and we don't have to worry about what time we have to finish. This is going to be our house of prayer. We can soak this place in prayer. We can have, if we want, we can have a 24-hour prayer room set up. This is our house of worship. It's a place for joy and for celebration. It's a place to eat together, to share meals together, to break bread together, to celebrate significant life moments together. I was thinking, how many of us in this room are going to see our children married in this building? Woo! I was thinking, how many of us are potentially going to have our funerals in this building? Whoa. This is a family home. Now, it doesn't look much at the moment, but it's going to be our family home. Are you with me? Do you see what we're giving to? Wow. Next week, we've got a baby Thanksgiving. We're going to celebrate new babies that are born in this. Well, maybe there will be some babies that are born in this building. It's our family home. Do you see, as we focus on Jesus, we see we're not giving just to a building, but we're giving to something much bigger than that. Let's just read verse 1 again. And the second thing I want to pull out about Jesus in this passage, it says, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and our high priest. Jesus is our high priest, but Jesus is also our apostle. When we think of apostles in the Bible, we think of the 12 who were with Jesus. They shared their lives with him. They followed him. They were sent out by him. In fact, that's exactly what the word apostle means. It means one who is sent out. If you read the Bible, there were other apostles that came after those 12. You can read about Paul and Barnabas, for example, in Acts 14, verse 14. It names them as apostles. We are now part of an apostolic church family network of churches called Catalyst, which is led by teams based on Ephesians 4, where it talks about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers that are given for the strengthening of the church until we reach full maturity. Do you know what? The church isn't going to reach full maturity until Jesus returns. And so we still need apostles today. We still need evangelists today and pastors and teachers and prophets, and they're gifts that are given to us as the church. So an apostle is one who is sent out by God. An apostle is one who is sent out to help spread the gospel, to break new grounds where Jesus is not yet known. An apostle is one who is sent out to plant new churches, to lay strong foundations, and to raise up leaders of those churches. Guess what? Jesus was the first apostle. Jesus was the one who was sent out by his Father. He was sent to come to us to represent God to mankind, God to humanity. Not only was he high priest who would represent humans to God, he was also apostle who represented God to humans. That's why Jesus is the bridge to life, right? We talk about the bridge to life illustration, that there's this chasm, this separation between us and God that's been caused by sin. But Jesus came and bridged that gap by going to the cross and dying in our place. And sometimes you see people draw that little illustration on the screen. They've got this big chasm and Jesus comes in, and there's this cross and it's the bridge. Well, Jesus is the bridge because he represents God to man and man to God. He does both of those things. He is the perfect high priest. He is the perfect apostle. He faithfully came to reveal God to us. He came to lay the foundations on which church, the global church is being built, and on what this local church is being built. And he's still doing it. He's still representing and revealing God to men and women and breaking new ground where his good news is not yet known. He's still laying foundations. He's still planting churches. He's still raising up leaders of churches. And listen to this. This was Jesus speaking to his disciples after his resurrection in John chapter 20. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending Jimmy. No, he didn't say that. He said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Okay, and that was a word that went to the disciples that he was speaking to at the time, but that is true for us as well. Jesus was sent by the Father, he's sending us to go. And so this means we are not just a family of disciples in our language, but we are a family of disciples on a mission. We are a family sent by Jesus to represent God to our town and to the regions beyond. And as we give today, we're not just giving to a family home, but we are also sowing into an apostolic base from which God's people are sent out on mission. We are called to take the good news of Jesus wherever we go. To your workplace, to your street, to the people you live nearby, to your friends and your family, to the people that you bump into when you go to the shops, to the people you play football with, to the people you meet day in, day out, whatever it is that you do, wherever it is that you go. When Open Door Church was planted 30 years ago, I looked this up, and the population of St. Neots was 25,000 people at the time, according to the census information. In 2021, it had grown to just under 35,000. How many people will be living in this town in 30 years' time, in 50 years' time? This building is sowing into those generations to come. Last week, a picture was shared that came in the prayer meeting before the service of streams of water being poured out and being a blessing on this town from this building. And it reminded me of the river in Ezekiel chapter 47, the river of life that flows from the place of God's presence right out of the temple and into the surrounding area. And it flows for miles, and everywhere where it goes, it brings life. Well, this is what this building is about. It's a place for us to come as a family and to be cleansed as we encounter Jesus, our high priest. It's a place to come and be refreshed as we encounter the Holy Spirit. And it's a place to be sent out as the river flows out of this place to the regions around. See, Jesus is building his church. Let's just read on from verse 2 of this passage. And this begins just to compare Jesus with Moses, who was a great hero to the people that would have received this first. They were from a Jewish background, and so Moses was their hero. He was the one that had led their people out of slavery. He was the one that led people by signs and wonders. He was the one that had received the Ten Commandments. He was the one that was known for having a relationship with God where his face glowed, and they knew that he had intimacy with God. And it says this: he was faithful to the one appointed him. That's Jesus. Jesus was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. And Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. You see, Moses and Jesus were both faithful in God's house, but Jesus is worthy of greater honor, so much more honor than Moses. Moses was faithful as a servant. Jesus was faithful as a son. Moses was faithful in God's house. Jesus is faithful over God's house. It says every house is built by someone. And in a sense, we are part of building this house. We're giving the resources today to build this house that's been on the screen behind us. But God is the builder of everything. And Jesus is our great apostle. Jesus is building God's house. And so this building, it's not just a building. We are God's house. Did you get that? We are God's house. You are part, if you're part of this local church, and if you're part of the global church, we are God's house together. Those who hold firmly to the hope of Jesus in which we glory, the church, we are God's house. And Jesus is building his house. Peter tells us that we are living stones being joined together, Paul tells us that we are now being built into a dwelling place for God's Spirit. Read this in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, the first apostle. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises up to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the house that God is building. This is the house that Jesus is building. We are the house that God is building. And so imagine for a minute that you go away today and you don't come back to St. Neots for 5 years. Or 10 years, or maybe 30 years. I want to encourage you that the question that you want to ask is not, what does the Open Door Church building look like? But what does Open Door Church look like? What has God done with Open Door Church? Yes, the building might look better than it does now. Or we might have moved to another building by then. Who knows, you know, what God has in store for us. But the real question is, what does the church look like? As we give to this building today, how many people will be reached for Jesus through this place? Not just what happens in this building. We've already talked about lots of things that are going to happen in this building, stuff that we're already involved in, like food banks and lunch clubs and small groups meeting there and youth work and kids work, all stuff that we're already doing, new stuff that we're going to do, whatever that looks like, whether it's debt advice or whether it's, you know, whatever kind of project it is that we might begin. But not just what happens in the building, but from what is sent out from that building. As each of us go out to our neighbours and our colleagues and our families, as we send people to other places, just as we sent Danny back to Spain a couple of weeks ago, through the resources that we send out from this place to Zimbabwe and Zambia and other partners that we're involved in building the church around the globe, through the youth cafes and so on that we partner with Youth for Christ, the stuff that we send out from this place is going to make a difference. The church plants maybe into the future, the multi-site church that we do into the future, whatever it might look like. The question is, what does the church look like? Not what does the building look like? Jesus is building his house. He's building his church. He's building his people. Some of our children will be baptized in this building. Some of our neighbors will come to know Jesus in this building. Some of our work colleagues will encounter the Holy Spirit for the first time because we go out from this building and equipped ourselves with the Holy Spirit to them. And you know, Jesus is already doing it. He's already building his church. Recently, we baptized 8 people over the Easter weekend. We've had about 20 or more people through Exploring Open Door over the past few months, which is our kind of the way we bring new people into this church. Alpha, I've talked about Alpha. That's the Alpha that's been going on with our kind of young adults group that is getting towards the end. I heard a story this week that one of the guys that's on there, one of the friends of someone in this church, came along this week and announced, I've given my life to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Giving my life for Jesus. And part of the reason was, not only has he been part of the discussions and he's been exploring who Jesus was, but the week before they prayed for his knee and he plays football and he hadn't been able to play for a while and his knee was pain-free. He was able to go back to training. And so that had happened. And not only that, but he'd gone away and on his own, he'd prayed for his financial situation and he prayed that he needed more finance, more money. And without even asking his employers, they more than doubled his hourly rate after he prayed that prayer. And so he said, yeah, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And so this is what Jesus is doing. He's building his church. So let's fix our thoughts on Jesus and hold firmly to our confidence and our hope. Let's consider Jesus our high priest and our apostle who is building his church and calling us to be a family of disciples on a mission. And let's give generously and sacrificially to a building that is going to help us in everything that we do together. Are you ready? Are you ready to do it? I'm ready. I'm ready. So what we're going to do, just very first bit of practical information, what we're going to do now is we're going to stand together and we're going to worship Jesus. And this is a family moment, so we want everyone back in the room, okay? So during this song, as we begin to sing, what we're going to do is the kids are going to come back to the back of the hall and come and find their parents and so on. If you have children in creche, I'm going to ask you, please, can you go collect your children from creche so that you can collect them and bring them back into the building? So let's get together with the people that we're giving with. And we're going to sing. And then once everyone's back in the room, Chris is going to come and just share a bit more practical information about how we're actually going to come and give our gifts. Okay? Let's stand together. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the great high priest. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the apostle, that you are building your church. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing in Open Door Church and around the globe. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, and have your way in our lives. We give our lives as a living sacrifice. We put our lives on the altar, Lord Jesus. We say, we are yours. We are following you. We are a family of disciples on a mission. And we want to give everything that we have to you. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.